We talk a lot about right-wing news outlets picking up out-of-context facts and amplifying them in their outrage machine to infuriate and validate their angry audiences. This phenomenon is not solely the province of the political right. As we discovered this weekend, when two separate stories about immigration policy morphed into one hair-raising tale and blew up the Twitter, namely that nearly 1,475 immigrant children separated from their parents at the Mexican border had been lost by the U.S. government. It was the stuff of Argentina in the late 1970s or the Khmer Rouge, only the horrifying narrative was a confusion of new episodes and old, and undercut actual tragedy by imagining a far worse one. Paige Austin is an immigration lawyer for the New York Civil Liberties Union. Paige, welcome to On the Media.
Thank you.
The wildfire story, as reported, was indeed horrifying. Almost 1,500 children separated from their parents as they crossed the border and then lost track of by the government. But it was not as reported.
There were two different stories being conflated there, and from my perspective as an immigration attorney, yet a third story being obscured in the process.
Okay, so let's go chronologically through this to see how we got here. In April, an official from the Office of Refugee Resettlement appeared before a Senate subcommittee. What did that official tell the subcommittee?
That official testified regarding procedures that the Office of Refugee Resettlement has in place to monitor the release of immigrant children in its custody. And in the course of that testimony, he described efforts over 3 months in the fall of 2017 to follow up with the families of children who had been released to check on them 30 days following their release. He stated the outcome of many of those calls. In most cases, the child was confirmed to be right where he or she had been placed. But in almost 1,500 cases, ORR did not receive a response to their phone call. Now, there was no follow-up. It's not as though they went to the house to check on the child. All they did was make a phone call to these families. And the families, either because their number had changed or because they did not want to have further contact with the government, possibly out of fear, did not respond to those calls.
Just to clarify on this, the children are not migratory waterfowl. They aren't tagged and tracked by the government, but they go through this process just to make sure that the foster care and the resettlements are ongoing. But the fact that they got no response on 1,500 of their follow-up calls is not the same as the children have disappeared from the face of the earth.
Well, that's exactly right. 90% of children who are in ORR custody are placed either with their own parent or with an immediate family member. And the Office of Refugee Resettlement has procedures in place to vet those adult relatives here in the United States to make sure that they can provide the child with a safe home. And as you said, the agency is not tasked with continuing to monitor the children after their release. The children do continue to go through immigration proceedings, but they should be attending school. They should be subject to the protection of local child welfare agencies, just like any other child would be in the United States. The idea is not that ORR continues to track and monitor them. And frankly, that's a good thing, because under the Trump administration, we have seen children previously released by ORR sometimes be re-detained by ICE. And we have also seen increasing efforts on the part of the Trump administration to use this process of vetting children's sponsors in the U.S. as a tool of immigration enforcement.
And if in these follow-up calls the government gets no response, there can be perfectly good explanations for that, right? Such as nobody being home, or if there are undocumented immigrants in the household, responding to the government could get somebody in trouble.
These would all be perfectly good reasons for a family not to answer the phone. And again, we're not talking here about a very concerted effort. We're talking about a phone call.
All right. So on point one, the children are not disappeared, and we don't necessarily want ORR or any other government agency to be able to track them precisely, because it could put them in greater jeopardy. It may be good news that they're not on the radar.
That's right.
Okay, so let's get to story number two. In early May, U.S. Attorney General Jeff Sessions announced the Trump administration's plans to discourage Mexican and Central American immigrants by separating parents from their kids at the border. It was supposed to be a deterrence. That has not been misreported, right?
That has not been misreported, though I will say that the policy predates Mr. Sessions' announcement on May 8th. But we have seen reports since as long ago as the summer of 2017 of parents being separated from their children at the border. And in April, the New York Times reported that 700 parents had been separated from their children since October. But what Mr. Sessions added to that on May 8th was that parents would now also be criminally prosecuted for entering the United States without authorization and potentially also for smuggling of their children.
So then something magical and not altogether surprising takes place. A columnist in the Arizona Republic cites the Senate testimony about the almost 1,500 unaccounted for immigrant children, and the public is already irate about the Trump administration policy, and people jump to the conclusion that these stories are one and the same. But the 1,500 unaccounted for kids were not separated from their parents by the Trump administration or anyone else at the border. They came across alone.
That's right. The children whose families failed to respond to phone calls from the Office of Refugee Resettlement had presented at the border as unaccompanied children, which means either that they were on their own or that they were with an adult that's not their parent. And they had been reunified with sponsors in the United States, again, after an extensive vetting process in 2017.
But the public is ready to believe that not only the children had been ripped from their parents' arms, but now they're missing. And I guess it didn't help that Presidential Chief of Staff John Kelly seemed pretty indifferent to the kids' fate when he described them being put in, quote, foster care or whatever.
Kelly's comments did not convey a lot of concern for children. So certainly the concern that the public expressed thereafter was very understandable and commendable even. But what is concerning to me as an attorney who works on these issues is that that misplaced concern could perhaps obscure a much bigger problem under the Trump administration, which is that the Office of Refugee Resettlement is increasingly hindering children's ability to get out of custody and to be placed with safe adult sponsors in the United States. And that fits in with rhetoric from the president and from other members of his administration calling for the repeal of legal protections that immigrant children enjoy, including the right to see an immigration judge and seek relief in the form of asylum or other relief from removal, and also the right not to remain in custody or in confinement throughout the process of seeking that relief, but to be reunited with relatives or other adult sponsors in the United States. The Trump administration has called this a loophole. They say that the children seeking refuge in the United States present a border security problem. And so we have seen the average length of time that children are in custody under the Trump administration increase. And for some subset of children, over 700 children in the last year, very dramatically long periods of custody because these children now require the personal approval of the head of ORR to be released. And we're also seeing the Trump administration increasingly use the process of vetting sponsors as a tool of immigration enforcement. So now ORR is sharing the information about adults who come forward to take in children and sharing that information with ICE. And ICE has proposed a regulation to take effect next month that will allow ICE to use that information for immigration enforcement purposes. And that has the effect of deterring family members from coming forward to offer to take responsibility for a child who's in custody, and we fear will dramatically lengthen the amount of time that all children are in immigration custody, with the end result, and this I think is intentional on the part of the Trump administration, of causing children to either turn 18 and be turned over to ICE, who will confine them in jail cells, or potentially to give up and leave the United States and not seek the refuge here that they came seeking.
Well, and to your point, there is certainly plenty in the Trump administration's policies to be horrified over on merit. But in this particular case, two major pieces of misunderstanding converged to turn into an episode of viral outrage. It was all over social media. Celebrities got involved. Activists got involved, from Judd Apatow to Jon Favreau to Sean King. And a photo was flying around the internet that supposedly showed an ICE kids prison bus.
While the outrage was perhaps misguided here, outrage has converged around a very justifiable target, and that is the detention of children. Some of those photos do indeed predate the Trump administration, but they've highlighted a problem that continues to afflict us today, and that is that immigrant children are facing confinement during the period of time prior to being reunified with adult sponsors. So while those facilities have existed since prior to the Trump administration and those conditions of confinement have existed, it's not a bad thing that people's attention is being drawn to the ongoing confinement of children, thousands of children on any given day. And I would hope that rather than calling for additional surveillance of these children and additional restrictions on their placement with sponsors, folks will realize that, in fact, detention is extremely harmful for children. And what we need is for the Trump administration to comply with the laws requiring that children are promptly released to safe sponsors in the United States, if that is what they would like.
Well, it may not be a bad thing that attention is focusing on the issue of children in detention, but it is a bad thing if the narrative is wrong, and if the perfectly well-meaning citizens are trading in alternate facts, let's just say.
Well, yes. And here, what's really concerning is that the Trump administration has used safety concerns as a pretense for its agenda of undermining legal protections for kids. Just to take a recent example, you now have ORR sharing information about adult sponsors with ICE, and the Trump administration, as recently as yesterday, claiming that that is for children's own safety. And so, to your point, the narrative here was misguided, and it's very alarming that that concern could potentially be seized upon by the Trump administration as further pretense not to release children.
There's one more thing I want to ask you about, because I saw in none of the stories about this uproar the answer to a simple question, which is when, under the new policy, children are separated from their parents and put into foster care arrangements or otherwise resettled, are the parents in detention kept informed of the child's disposition so that they don't actually become lost in the system?
Well, that's a good question. There's a couple of challenges there. First of all, ICE, prior to a few weeks ago, was failing to provide parents information about where their children were in custody. And so we get calls, and I think many legal services organizations are getting calls from parents or parents' attorneys trying to figure out where their children are. That is something that ICE has said it will address through the creation of a hotline. Parents in ICE custody will be able to call to obtain information about their children's location. But we have to remember that Jeff Sessions also said in his May press conference that parents would be criminally prosecuted for entering the United States without authorization. And what that means is that parents may be moving between different facilities. They may be in a criminal jail and then ultimately transferred back into ICE custody. And so there are real concerns about the parents' ability not only to know where the child is, but also to be in contact with the child. And for very young children, this raises the concern that the child, in meeting with a legal service provider, wherever in the United States they're held, won't be able to convey their desires. They wouldn't be able to convey information about their asylum case. They're not able to convey their desires as far as whether they want to seek reunification here in the United States or be repatriated with their parents. I will say this, ORR has numerous procedures in place to make sure that children are safe when they're placed with sponsors in the United States. Again, 90% of children are being placed either with a parent or with an immediate relative. No child is being placed with an adult with whom they do not have a pre-existing relationship. And ORR takes a number of steps to check the background and the safety of any sponsor with whom a child is placed.
I began this conversation premised on the notion that we're not dealing with the Khmer Rouge here, but that doesn't mean the situation isn't tragic, does it?
The separation of children from their parents at the borders is certainly tragic, but we have to remember that children are also being separated from their parents when they're detained elsewhere inside the United States or when ORR is refusing to release them to their parents, parents who are already here in the United States. We're seeing heartbreak really throughout the system. We document in our lawsuit here in New York that children subject to prolonged detention suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder. They suffer from depression. We see children here in New York who've attempted suicide as their detention has lengthened. The effects are real. The effects are devastating. And it is very important that the law requiring that these children be promptly placed with a stable, safe, and loving relative is followed.
Paige, thank you very much.
Thank you, guys.
Paige Austin is an immigration lawyer for the New York Civil Liberties Union. Thanks for listening to this On the Media podcast extra. Don't forget to subscribe to our newsletter at onthemedia.org. This is Bob Garfield.